sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Welcome back. Final hour of the week. Stop applauding. All right, final hour of the week, Steve Jones Show. Today's show being brought to you by Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. We've hit the weekend, everybody. High school football coming up tonight. Make sure you have plenty of snacks. Make sure you have plenty of soft drinks. They roast their peanuts every day. And on top of that, the pickle bar. I love the barrel pickles. Love them. So go to Brewers Outlet. Stock up. You got high school football tonight. The Sunbury broadcasting family is carrying three games tonight on four stations. Shikellamy Sealands Grove, of course, gets double-barreled action tonight. Kevin, of course, with our call with the Coach Dick Court right here on News Radio 1070 WKOK. So that's going to be a great one tonight. Sealands Grove's coming off a great win last week over Mount Carmel, and Shikellamy's in bounce-back mode after that Jersey Shore game. And that is coming back up tonight. So you want to make sure you're fully stocked at Brewers Outlet for all that. And by the way, when it gets to the weekend, you know, like I said, you're fully stocked for high school football tonight with your soft drinks, your snacks, fresh hot roasted peanuts, and also the pickle bar. Well, make sure you're also stocked up at home, so when you get home to watch games tomorrow, including Penn State Rutgers, you have the best selection of beer, imports, microbrews, domestics, all at Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. We are in the Sunbury Motor Studio, 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors Key, routes 11 to 15, Hummel's Wharf. Kevin drove a Lincoln this week. He's going to tell you more about that. And now the transition to the next vehicle that he'll be driving. Just go in and tell them, I want to drive the vehicle Kevin Herr's been driving. He'll take great care of you. It's Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Key, routes 11 at 15, Hummel's Wharf. One of my favorite people, John Bacon, the author, 4th and Long, The Fight for the Soul of College Football, joins us. John, my friend, it is great to hear your voice.
Steve, always a pleasure, of course.
You have been at the forefront about the sanctions and how you felt about it the entire time. When you heard about the most recent rollback, what were your thoughts?
I wasn't too surprised. I'm sure you're there, and of course, and I'm not, but the buzz lately has been that it's going to happen sooner or later. I thought it was going to be this fall, the way George Mitchell was talking the year before about, possibilities, this and that. I also think, by the way, it is clearly the right thing to do. And the wrong thing to do is what they did, which is punish a bunch of 19-year-olds for activities and crimes that have nothing to do with them whatsoever. So how we got here in the first place is a better question than how we got out of here.
You, of course, were around when all of this happened. You were given access to be around when this happened and had long talks with the players. There are still 49 players on that team still here that have gone through every stage of it. Give me an idea, the type of character that you think these young men have, the way they've handled things over nearly 3 years?
Well, I'll tell you what, Steve, that's a great question, because when we're all getting so cynical and you can't help it, when you see the Cam Newton situation, money channeling through his church while he wins the Heisman and he, of course, passes all the investigations, and the NCAA seems utterly toothless when it comes to actual cheating, the cheating that affects games, that is, and all that business. Man, what restored my faith was the fall of 2012 when I got to know you, of course. There's amazing players at State College. They're not necessarily amazing athletes. I mean, a few have made it to the NFL and probably more than expected, but that was not the point. Point is, when they're given a chance by the NCAA to be as cynical as everyone else and to admit that we're not here for the education, we're not here for Penn State, we're here for our own football careers, and start right away somewhere else like USC or Oklahoma or whatever else, and in many cases receive illicit gifts, money, cars, and so on. Almost all those guys, and even 49 guys now, they stayed. So in some ways, they put the lie to the NCAA. They tell the NCAA that we care more about Penn State than we do about bowl games. We care more about our education than we do about starting tomorrow. And that, by the way, restored my faith in this whole enterprise that we both love so much, more than anything else I've seen in the last decade. And it wasn't just Mike Motti, of course, and Michael Zordich. It was the freshmen and sophomores who are now the seniors and juniors now. They had probably the most to lose by staying in many ways. And they stayed, they kept it together, they started out 0-2 that year, and they kept fighting. And if there's a better story about the heart and soul of college football, I have not seen it.
There are 9 fifth-year seniors on this team, and the 9 have a couple of things in common. They have stayed and played for Penn State, and all nine do have their degrees. What statement does that make to you about that?
It tells me that Mark Emmert, who ran a department at LSU that could not hold a candle to Penn State's 93% graduation rate, and in that case, 100%, of course, has got no idea what he's talking about. And honestly, if Jordan Hill and the other great players at Penn State who graduate, of course, John Urschel comes to mind, obviously. If those guys run the NCAA, I feel a whole lot better than Mark Emmert. The hypocrisy of what's going on is stunning. The glorious part is the most noble men I met in this whole equation were, in fact, the players at Penn State. And don't forget, I'm a Michigan guy talking. This is not bias.
Right. Well, exactly. You love Michigan. You love Michigan the way Penn State people love Penn State. So,
and for all the same reasons.
Right, for all the same reasons. I want to ask you about the Michigan situation, not about the football situation yet. I want to ask about the crowd situation in Michigan. We talked about the student ticket situation there. Have they taken any steps to take that in the right direction so Michigan students who 20, 30 years from now will be the alumni sitting in the seats and buying tickets can be a part of the action now?
Of course, Steve. First of all, you're asking the right question. The question is not will they get the students back this year or next year. The question is, how does it look in 20 or 30 years? And when the Penn State students sold their tickets out in about, what, an hour, I think it was.
Yes.
Something ridiculous.
Yeah.
Ohio State in about a day, Wisconsin in about a day. You cannot blame the entire generation as being simply apathetic towards the whole equation. Michigan has gone from 21,000 seats of students in 2012 to about 10 or 11,000 now, so basically cut in half in 2 years. That is not a national trend. That is a dramatic drop-off. And as you say, the issue is not this year or next year. The issue is 20 years. If you're not too happy at age 20, you're probably not going to be happier at age 45, you know, dropping $50,000 is the equivalent of it for a suite and the big boxes there, of course. So what they have done since, they finally recognize they've got a serious problem in their hand, and what they have done is set up some student committees to get some feedback and this kind of stuff. And it's hard to say if it's sincere or not. It kind of smacks, Steve. If you forget your anniversary, coming back with flowers the next day, well, you better. And I don't know if those flowers are real or not, basically, so it's hard to say right now. But the real test is going to be next season when Michigan does have, this year, of course, the only real big game on the ticket is Penn State. Right. And that is the only game that is currently sold out, incredibly. That's, by the way, hats off to Penn State. Penn State, along with Michigan State and Ohio State, have really become Michigan's marquee matchups. And so that is the one night game. So that is the one game in the schedule that's big this year. Next year, Michigan does have Michigan State and Ohio State at home for the first time since 66, I think it was.
Wow.
So that is a real acid test to see if the students are coming back or not. But, man, like I said, it's a real problem. And also the other ticket sales are way down. Two weekends ago, before the Notre Dame game, against Appalachian State. And by the way, Steve, why they rescheduled that game is a mystery to me.
Yeah.
So, you know, Soviets rescheduling the 1980 Olympic team from the U.S. I don't care how many times the Soviets win the next time. It makes no difference, but whatever. But in this one right here, they dumped around 10,000 to 15,000 free tickets to churches, schools, ushers, Michigan club golfers, you name it. So I don't know how we can keep on doing that and call it a business model. That's still a problem. If it rains this weekend after that, you know, clearly horrible loss at Notre Dame, you might see they might actually have to admit the streak is broken.
Right. But I want to take it just one step further. I want people to understand the passion for Michigan football is still deeply rooted in the state, but they're not doing enough to open the door to get them into the stadium.
That's exactly right. They still love the team. They still love the school. They still love the players. Or they're getting fed up with, frankly, the athletic director. And it's not unlike Penn State's STEP program, which I understand they actually borrowed from Michigan. And now they're both in trouble as far as that side of things goes. So that created problems on both sides of the equation. Michigan had been sold out since November of 1975.
Wow.
Steve, I was 10 then. And as you've seen me, I am no longer 10. So that's how far back it goes. 252 straight games. So if this ends, it's a bit of a testament to what's changed in Michigan football. And they all said the same thing. They still love it. They're getting tired of basically paying steakhouse prices for junk food schedule. And this year's schedule is the all-time worst, except for Penn State.
Right. Let's take it one step further. And this is a question where I don't have the answer to it, but I'll throw it out there to discuss. The television contracts with everything for the Big Ten will add up football, men's basketball, to about, I think, almost $30 million this year. I think it's $34 million next year. And then we've heard speculation the door opens to $44.5 million in 2016-17. With those kind of numbers rolling in, can't you do something with ticket sales where you don't feel like you're pounding people over the head anymore because now you've got all these extra millions coming in from TV anyway?
That is a great point. And what you hope is there is some threshold where enough actually is enough. And I recall Joe Paterno himself, and you know the man infinitely better than I did. You're one of his closest confidants. That he's given the choice, I think about 10 years ago, you want to crank up the revenue and therefore the seat ticket prices, of course, and you might have a few games that aren't sold out, or do you want to keep the wait list and keep the sellout? And he didn't flinch. As I understand it, he said, and this is not to me, of course, he said, keep the sellout.
Yes.
And Don Canham, who was a great admirer of Paterno's, don't forget, Don Canham tried to get Paterno to be Michigan's head coach and settled for Bo Schembechler instead. I think we're cut pretty well for both schools, but that's the regard that Don Canham certainly had for Joe Paterno. And I asked him, you know, I said, what about the wait list? About 10 years ago also. I said, you know, even I know as a history major, you got 10 to 20,000 people on the wait list. You can charge more money for the tickets and decrease the wait list. If you're selling tires or hotel rooms, that's what you do. And he said, no. We're not selling tires. We're not selling hotel rooms, okay? What we're selling is very different. He said, what restaurant do you want to go to? And I said, I don't know. And he said, the one with the line out the door. If you walk into a restaurant that's half empty, you want to walk out. It's an irrational purchase. Getting dinner out of your home is an irrational purchase. And coming to the stadium instead of staying at home when it's warm and dry and free is also an irrational purchase. You want the buzz there. You want the wait list. You want the sense that you're lucky to be in that stadium today. And now Michigan fans, at least, are feeling increasingly like they're suckers. Because what happens, of course, you pay your money, you go to the game, you get rained on, and insult to injury, Steve, you're sitting there and you got to wait 2 or 3 minutes for the guy at home to go to the bathroom and get a beer while you wait for his ad to stop. Right. And that is not treating your basic customer as well as you should.
Right. And then is going to 9 conference games and then scheduling a marquee non-conference game, is that a step in the right direction that would make fans feel better?
I certainly feel that way myself, and I bet you'd agree with that.
I do. Agree with it. I didn't before, John. Like 2-3 years ago, I said, nah, 8 gives you schedule flexibility with the 4. But I've changed on that. I think 9 is the right thing to do in a marquee non-conference game, and then 2 others that you have to play at home because you need the revenue.
Right. You do lose a marquee, you lose the home playoff, home date, as you say. And I was at first like you, saying, okay, well, how's it going to work? 5 at home, 4 at home, you know, how's that going to work? Second of all, of course, you might lose some good opponents. But when you see what these guys have done with the 4 non-conference games, it has not been very inspiring. And, of course, Michigan's playing Appalachian State, UMass, Miami of Ohio is coming in this weekend to Ann Arbor. And these are not games that anybody would willfully sign up for.
Right.
So to play, and the other thing, too, people think we're crazy about this. And Penn State, I mean, Nebraska's now the rookie, and, of course, Maryland, Rutgers even more so. You guys have been around this block, you know, fair number of times by now and highly regarded in every way, the fans, the academics, the football program, and all the rest. You get a feel for the Big Ten, and you go into any Big Ten bar, including where you, of course, do your radio show, one of the best places in State College. They've got the banners hanging of all 12, back then, Big Ten teams. It's not, and every bar in the Big Ten has got this. It's not just your home team. It's Iowa, it's Illinois, it's Michigan State. After a while, you get a feel for these places, and they become part of your family. And whether or not we feel that way about Rutgers and Maryland yet, remains to be seen. But I'd much rather have a game even against a weak Illinois-Indiana team than playing App State again or Miami of Ohio or even Utah. So I think it's a step in the right direction, especially if they beef up the non-conference part as well. Give us at least one serious game out of those three, and we will follow you.
Yeah, I agree with that. And again, I'd rather see Penn State play a game with Iowa than see them play a couple of other games on the schedule that they'll have in the four rotation right now. The Maryland,
exactly.
Right, the Maryland Rutgers thing. What is the feeling? And we know what the feeling is at Penn State. So this is a little bit different here because they used to travel to Rutgers to see games from here. They used to travel to Maryland and vice versa. So that brings back for Penn State two very familiar institutions. That's also an easy drive, especially for those in eastern and southern Pennsylvania. What about the attitude, though, in Michigan about Maryland Rutgers? Do they add anything to the table that fans are interested in other than taking up spots 13 and 14?
The silver lining, I think, for all Big Ten fans, but especially, I think, Michigan, probably Ohio State, Michigan State, is there are a lot of alums in New York and D.C., of course, of these schools. Michigan's got, I think, 20,000 in New York alone and about 15,000 or so in D.C. Now, I realize that Penn State probably has more than that. D.C., Philadelphia, right outside of Rutgers, naturally not too far, are very close and will have fans who are able to go to those games and draw that way. So that part is probably good for everybody. If the choice is the Big Ten shrinks and becomes irrelevant, or you add this footprint for TV cable sales, it's what it boils down to. I'd say, okay, that's a pill you got to swallow, I guess. But I got to tell you, there's a comment to Penn State. When the Big Ten added Penn State, even though it was 11 teams, it seems very weird at the time numerically, it was an incredibly popular addition. The feeling was automatically, man, you get a legend in Joe Paterno, you get a great, clean program, you get a very solid school, great fans. But that was a very popular move. I think Nebraska was largely very popular as well for the same reason.
Agreed.
It seemed like it fit. To most Big Ten fans, Rutgers does not feel that way. There's no tradition of football there beyond, I grant you, the very first game.
Right.
But it's got no identity in football, and Maryland really doesn't either. Now, basketball, Maryland does.
Yes.
In that sense, most hardcore, I think, old-school Big Ten fans feel like Penn State, yes, Nebraska, yes, Rutgers and Maryland, only if necessary. I will say this on the negative side of Penn State. The positive, of course, you've got a lot of students from D.C., a lot of students from New Jersey, naturally. And that, I think, probably plays better at Penn State than it will elsewhere in the Big Ten. But one downside is you guys own the Northeast when it comes to recruiting. You practically own D.C. And now there will be probably more competition there for recruiting than you've had in the past. Now, having said that, Franklin is recruiting the lights out right now. So I don't see much stopping that guy.
John, you and I think could sit down and probably talk for about 7 or 8 hours. As always,
in one day, Steve, we will.
In one day, we will, my friend. Thank you so much for carving out a couple of minutes. You know I always appreciate it.
Always a pleasure. I hope Penn State fans, and I know they do, appreciate that they've got a legend in Steve Jones.
We've
not had one since Bob Buford stepped down in 1979. So. Always good to talk to you.
Oh, thanks, John. That's very kind of you to say. Appreciate it. Take good care. We'll talk soon.
You got it, and good luck.
John Bacon, embarrassing me at the end, as only John can do. All right. Steelers lost 26-6. I would show you Kevin's texts from an entertainment point of view and put them on the website, but no, I'm not going to do that. Now, maybe at some point we will, but not this time. Mark Silverman, the president of BTN, is going to join us in the final half hour of the show. They have a big day coming up tomorrow. They are taking the Penn State-Rutgers game, with Rutgers having its initial game in the Big Ten. They're taking their coverage tomorrow to a different level. They're taking their studio show on the road. He will talk about that and much more on the Philosophy of Big Ten Network. He has been the president since day one. He's coming up next half hour. Today's show brought to you by Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. Imports, domestics, microbrews, snacks, soft drinks. They roast their peanuts every day. They have the pickle bar. It's all at Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. We are in the Sunbury Motors studio. Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf. News coming up at the bottom of the hour. We follow that up in our final half hour of the week with Mark Silverman, the president of Big Ten Network. That's coming up in the final half hour of the show on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
While looking for a vehicle, you know that if it sounds too good to be true, chances are it is too good to be true. You get the runaround, gotta go from place to place. Well, you can just skip all of that and go straight to Sunbury Motor Company. Sunbury Motor Company has been satisfying more customers and selling more cars since 1915, so you know they've got it right. No offers that look good on paper or online, and then you get disappointed when you see them in person. Sunbury Motor Company offers a lineup few other auto dealers in the area can compete with. With the inventory of Ford, Hyundai, Kia, and Lincoln vehicles, there will be no problem finding the right vehicle that fits your needs and your budget. And the friendly, knowledgeable staff's ready and able to help you with everything from the test drive to the drive off the lot. See for yourself at Sunbury Motors. Sunbury Motors, Ford, Lincoln, Hyundai, in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf. Look for them online anytime at sunburymotors.com. The best get-togethers start with a trip to the beverage supermarket, Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street, Sunbury. Why? Because Brewers Outlet has not only a great selection of beer, including imports and microbrews, but also a lot more. Brewers Outlet has water, soda, they roast their peanuts every day, and you can't forget about stopping by the pickle bar. Look for great deals on wine coolers and all your favorite snacks. Before you enjoy those special times with family and friends, make your visit first to the beverage supermarket, Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street, Sunbury.
Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Final half hour for the week. Oh, stop rejoicing. Come on. Final half hour for the week. And, of course, when we get to the final half hour of the week, I need to remind each and every one of you to stock up for the weekend at Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. They don't call it the beverage supermarket for nothing. You have high school football coming up tonight, so make sure you have your soft drinks, you have your snacks. They roast their peanuts every day, and, of course, the pickle bar. Incredible. Love the barrel pickles. And, by the way, the Sunbury Broadcasting family has three games on four stations tonight. Selins Grove and Shikellamy have their own broadcast tonight of that showdown, including Kevin Herr and the coach Dick Hort right here on News Radio 1070 WKOK, our award-winning by the Associated Press and by the Pennsylvania Association of Broadcasters, our award-winning broadcast and broadcast team. That is coming up tonight. Friday night, love high school football. But you also want to make sure you stock up for the weekend at Brewers Outlet because you're going to get home, and when you get home, make sure you have all the beer that you need for the weekend, all right? You have Penn State Rutgers tomorrow night. You also have the NFL coming up on Sunday. There's a Monday night game, the whole thing. Imports, domestics, microbrews. The selection is unbelievable at Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. And, of course, I am in the Sunbury Motors studio. 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Kevin was driving a Lincoln this week. Ask them about the cars Kevin's been driving. He had an F-150 last week, Lincoln this week. How about that? Well, he's got a new one to tell you about as well. I'll tell you more about that. It is Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. And Sunbury Motors, by the way, they do a great job of understanding your needs, your budget. And by the way, for routine maintenance or anything even trickier, more severe, their service department is second to none. That's all at Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. And time now to take a look at Penn State Rutgers. I mean, I don't think we need to look back on the Steelers, do we? After last night's 26-6 loss? I don't think we need to do that, do we? I hope not. I hope not. All right. Let's bring in Mark Silverman, BTN. He's been the president of Big Ten Network since its launch. And they have done a great job of carving out their niche in the television sports landscape. In year one, they were in the red. Then they were able to craft their deals with Comcast and Time Warner. And that threw, financially, BTN into the black. And they have been a positive force for all Big Ten schools, and not only in coverage, but also financially. It was a brilliant move by the conference to do this, where now you have Pac-12 Network, you have the SEC Network, BTN got it all started. And tomorrow night, Rutgers will enter into the Big Ten, play their first ever conference game in football when they take on Penn State. BTN will have it at 8 tomorrow night. My good friend Glenn Mason will be there. Kevin Kugler will be calling the game as well. We've had Kevin on this show many times. We'll have Mace on this show many times as well. But they're also going to take the studio group of Dave Revson, Howard Griffith, and Jerry DiNardo and put them on site. And we bring in the president of BTN, Mark Silverman. What does it tell you that you're making that kind of move with your studio group tomorrow night, Mark?
Yeah, you know, I mean, we've been trying to go out of our way. And we look at this like there's 14 teams in the Big Ten. You know, there's not 12 old teams and two new guys. There's 14 schools. And we're really trying to support the conference as the conference pushes to really try to make the Northeast part of the country more Big Ten territory. And Penn State's really been, you know, handling it on its own for quite a while now, almost 20 years. And having now a couple of East Coast partners, both schools that have long-time rivalries with Penn State and Maryland and Rutgers, you know, we want to show our support. We want to try and show this part of the country that Big Ten, you know, collegiate sports, you know, is the place where you can go for, you know, for a lot of excitement. We know people, you know, and you know, people talk about they're not as big college sports fans in New York and New Jersey and this area, but you know, we know they watch college football on Saturday, and we think they're going to watch more Big Ten football, and we're going to do all we can to try and just, you know, support the Big Ten, and we think by having a couple of 2-0 teams, both looking very aggressively now at potentially competing for the Eastern Division of the Big Ten, I think this is the type of game that can draw some additional fans and beyond just, you know, the key alums of both schools. I think this game is going to have a much broader appeal, and we're going to try to do our part to make it happen.
Naturally, Mark, one of the keys for BTN is the reception you get from cable systems in New Jersey, suburban New York, D.C., Baltimore area. What has that been like for BTN in terms of the reception from cable?
Yeah, I mean, as you remember, our early days, you know, it definitely took the network a while, being the first one out there, you know, when we first launched. So we were, you know, we really weren't sure what to expect, but fortunately, I mean, we were able to get our deals done with Comcast, done with Time Warner. We're on in New York City in the vast majority of homes. We're expanded basic in New Jersey throughout. Same thing in Maryland and Washington, D.C. We've gotten all of our major deals done, and you know there's some smaller parts out there. But at this part, you know, a couple weeks in, you know, we're way ahead of any of the most optimistic scenarios in terms of distribution in this part of the country than we thought we'd be.
Now, when you look at the growth of the network, every network, there's certain staples that have remained the same for you because they've been strong and you know it and you've built upon it. And at the same time, you made tweaks and adjustments. What have been some of the important tweaks and adjustments that have made the network better in 2014 than back in 2007?
Yeah, you know what? There's several things. You know, the first thing we wanted to do is just, you know, as there's so much news now and information's breaking. And what we would, the first couple of years, you know, we'd tape our show early and then people would go home. And then, you know, when there's game days, you have a lot of people in the office. But when there was no game going on, it was, you know, that was where we kind of just caught our breath. And what we quickly realized is we needed to be able to respond in a much quicker way. And especially during the fall, when, you know, it's one thing in basketball season when you have games five times a week, you have a lot of people in. But on football Saturdays, you know, oftentimes with the fall, other fall sports, there were games only really on the weekends. We've since moved, and a lot of women's volleyball takes place on a Wednesday. But we needed to create nightly shows later that could then address if injuries are happening, if there's news breaking. So we've really tried to focus on that and really build the amount of programming. You know, if we're airing old games, At this time, you know, at this point of our evolution, we're missing the boat. You know, we've really tried to invest and build up shows like The Journey, like our Big Ten Elites, yeah. our older icon shows. We have a new Treasure Hunter show that's launching next week. We need to just gradually keep building the amount of programming on the air, do more studio shows, have a broader purvey, and we look at the entire collegiate football scene in much broader manner than we ever did before. You know, we think Big Ten fans are interested in what's going on in the SEC and the yes. Big 12 and the Pac-12, and we need to have enough talent. You know, our talent roster's tripled in the last 3 or 4 years. More and more people coming on the air, different faces, different points of view. So we've really just tried to grow it smartly. We're trying to be more national. We're in over 60 million homes now. People are watching the network all over the country. And we're trying to be able to respond to all of our viewers and not be just so segmented on, you know, the Big Ten territory specifically and you know, have this national network, you know, that everyone across the country is interested in.
Exactly. 60 million homes means you have to have a national viewpoint of what's going on, and you've been able to build it with not just broadcasters but esteemed writers who have made the transition into broadcasting. The importance of getting those national names in there, like a Mike DeCourcy, a Pat Forty, just to scratch the surface on some of them. How important has that been? Tom Dinehart?
Yeah, Dana, and you know, Pete Thamel comes on the air, Andy Staples. I mean, all these national guys. Seth Davis does more stuff for us now during basketball. I think it's critical to achieve our objective, which is, you know, when we come to work, what we're trying to do is we want to be the best collegiate sports network there is. Not the best conference-owned network, the best collegiate sports network. And the goal is, even if you're not a Big Ten fan, if you're a sports fan, we've got to be able to get you to come to our network and have enough programming that you're going to want to watch us. Because if you like sports, if you like college sports, the fact that, yes, we are the Big Ten, everything we do is centered around the Big Ten, but we've got to do that in context of the rest of the collegiate sports scene. And that's where I think we're getting better and better at it. We often talk about it in terms of a bullseye. You know, the center of the bullseye is the Big Ten fan, but we also want the next circle around it is the broader sports fan, and there's a lot more of them. So we've got to be able to create entertaining and interesting enough programming that people want to watch it, even if they don't necessarily have a strong connection to the Big Ten.
You take the studio crew, and then, you know, Jerry DiNardo, Howard Griffith, Dave Revson, Tom Dinehart, and they go to each training camp for football. And then Dave Revson and Jim Jackson in basketball season make sure that they do a basketball game where they see all 14 teams during the course of the year live. The importance that you get your people out in the field and around your Big Ten teams to then translate it back to the studio.
Yeah, I mean, to me, that's a must, right? We have to be credible. Our guys have to be more knowledgeable about our conference than anyone else. I mean, otherwise, you know, what are we doing? And you know, fortunately, we have guys like Dave Revson and Jerry DiNardo and Howard Griffith and Jimmy Jackson who feel that way. And they have their own professional pride that they, you know, it's not easy to go to 14 schools. You know, when it was 11, it wasn't as hard. Now they go to Nebraska and New York, New Jersey. And these guys want to be credible. We want them to be knowledgeable. And it's just kind of the price you pay for trying to achieve what we're trying to achieve. And, you know, there's never complaining about it. You know, that bus tour gets a little longer every year. But, you know, they really look forward to it. And you know, when we, any year, when we look at it, we're like, all right, what do we do with the football tour? And the first thing they say is, well, we're obviously doing it. And you know, it's never a matter of not doing it. It's like, all right, do we want to do anything different this year? And it's a really, really important building block to how we cover, you know, specifically the football season. And they really enjoy it. They do this out of a love for the Big Ten, a love for the network. And, you know, we're thrilled to have had them on the year for, you know, since the network launched. Dave, Jerry, and Howard have been our studio crew. You don't get to say that very often.
Exactly. I mean, and fans count on that. This game with Penn State Rutgers. Yeah. To take the viewer, what can we expect to see Friday, Saturday on BTN to get everyone ready for the initial game in the history of Rutgers football in the Big Ten against Penn State?
Yeah, so our guys, everyone will be coming out, if not today, by tomorrow. Our noon, 11 a.m. Eastern pregame show will begin from High Point Solution in Piscataway. Our guys will be there. Then we lead into the a great game at noon, West Virginia at Maryland.
Wow.
Which some people scratch their head and go, that's a Big Ten game. West Virginia and Maryland, right? Who knew that it would be a Big Ten game?
Right.
But it's a really competitive game. We're thrilled to have that one. Then after that game, we're going to do a postgame show from Rutgers. Then we lead into the Michigan-Miami of Ohio game, and then we do a postgame show from the Michigan game, also at Rutgers, and then we lead up into our game at 8. We'll be there on the field. We'll have all the stands. This game's been sold out for weeks. I think this game I've had more ticket requests for than, other than a Michigan-Ohio State game. I think the most of anything I can remember in the 7 years we've been there. There's a huge interest in this game. The fact that Penn State and Rutgers are so close to each other, they're recruiting the same kids, the two new coaches making their Big Ten debuts. Both teams are really right, as opposed to, other parts of the Big Ten that have been, somewhat disappointing. And we've all heard and read in national media about, the sky is falling for the Big Ten over the last few days. But you have two schools here that are both 2-0, that are optimistic about their future and that are natural rivals. And we're going to have guests on the air. I was thrilled. I met Franco Harris back this summer. He's going to be coming on our set to talk to our guys, in addition to the head coaches. Eric LeGrand and Adam Talafaro, the game captains, are going to be coming by our set. It's going to be festive, entertaining, fun. I think there's going to be a buzz outside that arena that Rutgers probably hasn't seen, probably since they had that famous game against Louisville back, yeah. 8 or 9 years ago.
Right. And also Marco Battaglia, who is also an outstanding
tight end. And Marco Battaglia is going to be there from Rutgers,
yeah.
Sure.
Yeah, he's going to be a part of it as well. Mark, thanks so much for carving out a few minutes for us. We appreciate it. It's going to be an exciting night, but it's also going to be the kind of night that can showcase what BTN really can do.
Yeah, I appreciate that. We're going to do our best. And thanks for having me on. I appreciate it.
Mark Silverman, the president of BTN, president Big Ten Network. That's part of their coverage, and Franco Harris and Adam Talafaro will be a part of their pregame coverage. Our pregame coverage gets rolling tomorrow at 6:30. Jack Ham, Warren Crispell, Roger Corey, Jeff Tarman on hand, along with myself at High Point Solutions Stadium, 6:30 tomorrow evening, leading into tomorrow night's game at 8. Gary Nova, the quarterback, off to a really good start. Watched the Washington State tape. I was not going to bother myself watching the Howard tape. I'm sorry. They said, "Well, which digital readout do you want?" And I said, "I don't want to see the Howard game. I want to see the Washington State game." And I watched the Washington State game again last night, and Paul James ran the ball really well between the tackles. That's what really impressed me. He ran the ball well between the tackles. I thought Gary Nova handled himself really well. Younger receivers. So James is really important in what they do. They have younger receivers, and Croft and Flanagan, the tight end, is pretty good. But that offensive line has 109 career starts between them. So it is a veteran group that Paul James is running behind. And James is off to a great start with 263 yards rushing, 4 touchdowns, 2 catches, 100 yards, 2 touchdowns. So he's off to a 6-touchdown start in this season. Defensively, in watching that, the one area I could not get a gauge on, and I know the Rutgers people feel, wow, our run defense is pretty good. You face Washington State, which doesn't run the ball, and Howard. So I have no idea how good Rutgers' run defense is. None. Washington State doesn't run the ball, and Howard is Howard. So I don't know how good the run defense is. You can't tell. Pass defense, I thought the pass defense against Washington State hung in there against a team that just throws the ball relentlessly. And Rutgers, to its credit, went to Seattle. That game was played in at CenturyLink Stadium in Seattle. They went to Seattle and fell behind, came back, won, and it was Washington State that had the ball at the end, and the Rutgers defense came up with plays and forced Washington State out on down. So, it was a good win on the road for Rutgers to get, and then the Howard game. And Kyle Federico, not bad as a place kicker. But That's the setup for tomorrow. But there's going to be a lot of Penn State fans at this game. It is a 52,000-seat stadium. It's my understanding Penn State will have anywhere between 10 and 15,000 fans at the game. James Franklin piped in the noise all week. I mean, he piped in the noise all week. In fact, he deliberately split practices that when the defense was working on its practice field, they were outside. He kept the offense inside most of the week because he wanted to pipe as much noise and keep the noise within the confines of the building and not outside in the practice field. So he just wanted to give them that feel of a lot of crowd noise. But still, part of that crowd noise is going to be muted tomorrow, because there'll be about 35, 37,000 Rutgers fans and nearly 10 to 15,000 Penn State fans tomorrow night. Penn State fans have been aching for this one as well. And it'll be tomorrow night at Rutgers. The irony of this is this spot in the schedule originally was set up to be at Nebraska, and then Nebraska coming here next year. But then Nebraska joined the Big Ten. Okay, let's find a replacement. Let's get Rutgers. Rutgers is fine. Now Rutgers is in the Big Ten, so now they just made it a conference game. That's why it's the standalone Big Ten game, and it is the only Big Ten game until we get to September 27th, all right? And that's when Penn State has its homecoming game with Northwestern. It'll be Northwestern's conference opener. All right. That wraps it up for the week. Hope you enjoyed it today. Our thanks to Guy Gadowski, the men's hockey coach at Penn State, for joining us. Ollie Marmol, the manager of the State College Spikes after the New York Penn League Championship. John Bacon, the author of Fourth and Long, The Fight for the Soul of College Football. And Mark Silverman, the president of BTN. Today's show brought to you by Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. Stock up now. And, of course, this has been from the Sunbury Motors Studio, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, Key Routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf. News top of the hour. And then tonight, Shikellamy football with Kevin Herr and the coach Dick Court right here on News Radio 1070 WKOK.